Freak. Hey, what's up, everybody, and welcome to episode 70 motherfucking 5. Let's go. Woo. Oh, yeah. Episode 75, a feel-good Friday. I'll be honest, I don't like the way that I sounded right there. I feel like I sounded a little bit on the douchey side, if I'm being honest. But you know what? We're at a milestone. We're celebrating. So I'm going to let my douchebag flag fly. You know what I mean? And I got to be really careful when I say that because, you know, little typo there, I could say something that will offend a lot of people. But I'm a professional and I didn't. So anyway, episode 75, really, really stoked to have reached it. Honestly, I'm really proud of myself that I haven't given up, that I'm still doing this. I'm having a lot of fun still, even, you know, 2 years deep in this. I'm really appreciative of all of you. I'm appreciative of all the listeners. I'm appreciative of all the guests that I've had on and all the guests that I will have on. And why is guests such a hard word to say? The plural version of guest, guests, or like texts. I don't like when it has to, you have to add that extra tss. It's really frustrating. It's like packaging flour. Why haven't we fixed the flour packaging yet? It's been around for years, and yet it's still, when you grab it, it comes out of the sides. What's happening here? What's the issue? Why can't we come up with a more efficient flour packaging system where you won't lose any flour? I don't even know if it's the issue is losing flour. The issue is getting flour all over other shit in the area. Like if I'm ringing up flour, I grab the flour from the cart, some might come out and hit the other groceries. I scan the flour, some might hit the register. Like, I'm just saying, it's not the worst thing in the world, and I get it. If I'm complaining about this, then my life is pretty good. Like, if all I have to complain about is flour packaging, then yeah, I'm living a pretty good life. It's just a little inconvenience that I would like to be taken care of, and I feel like it can be taken care of semi-easily, in my opinion. Just saying. I'm just saying. So we got to fix the flour packaging. We got to fix words like, pluralizing words like guests and texts. You got to come up with a word that represents the plural version of that, that isn't an annoyance to say. I don't know the word yet. I haven't come up with it. This is literally coming off the top of my head. And it's something I want to take care of. So if I ever get into politics, I'm definitely going to use this as part of my plan. My 4-year plan. I'm going to be like, all right, people, if you elect me as your president, we're fixing the flour packaging phenomenon. I can't call it a phenomenon because I feel like phenomenon is usually a good thing. We're fixing the flour packaging fuck up. Started years ago and for whatever reason hasn't been fixed. It's 2023. All right. I am canceling old time flour packaging. It's just something that has to be done. I'm not afraid to say it. I know. I'm a little risque. I'm a little controversial. I'm taking the old ways and I'm breaking them down. I'm breaking down the walls. You know? No more shitty flower packaging. I'm such a wild card. Man, no wonder you listen to this podcast. Where else do you get this edgy stuff? Really, really crazy material right here. Anyway, speaking of crazy material, I wanted to get in before my interview today. I wanted to talk about something that is pretty mind-blowing, in my opinion. And it's that aliens exist. And we have confirmation now that aliens exist. Former U.S. intelligence official David Grush alleges that the government is in possession of non-human bodies and UFOs. Apparently, he went under oath at some courthouse fucking thing. I don't know exactly what it was, but he was asked about it. He was asked if there was a UFO crash that happened, and he was like, yep. And he asked if There were bodies, like, of the pilots, the whoever was piloting the UFO, recovered at the scene, and he was like, yeah. And she was like, were those bodies non-human thing? Were they non-human bodies? And he was like, yeah. He went into more detail, obviously. You'll have to look up the clip yourself. It's extremely interesting. Now, I know this has been kind of a long time coming, almost. Like, people have been, there have been slow leaks. Like, I think when COVID was at an all-time high, the government kind of leaked out. They were like, oh yeah, aliens exist. And then everyone just was like, well, COVID's happening, so we don't care about that. But now COVID is not the big thing anymore. It's just not. And I think this is going to be a lot bigger than it was last time the government said some shit like this. It's spreading around. The memes are already out. The memes are out. The internet did not waste any time getting to it. And I'll be honest, I don't know how I feel about it. I'm not sure if aliens exist already, like they're already here and they're living among us. You know, what can they take the form as? What would they take form as? Would they take form as our pets? Or birds, or are like actual people? Are they abducting people and then taking over their bodies? And like, what if I work with aliens? What if there's someone at work that's an alien? I could think of a couple people at my job that might be aliens. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. They're just a little bit out there, and that's okay. Potential alien. Kind of cool, actually. But if you're a potential alien, I'd like you to tell me. Your secret is safe with me. I'm not going to leak that. I might leak that. All right. If I'm being honest, I might. That's big news if you're an alien. So maybe don't tell me. But maybe like play a little game. Give me hints. You know, if I'm like waiting for the bathroom and you come out of it and you're an alien, like leave a little like green slime on the sink. And then as you're leaving, be like, sorry for the mess, or however aliens talk. And then I'll look and be like, ah, what the fuck? And then I'll be like, oh yeah, I told him to do this on my podcast. So I'm just saying, as long as the aliens are cool, I'm cool with it. However, if this is like War of the Worlds and they're just total assholes, Mars Attacks, whatever, then I'm not cool with it. Cause you know, I kind of like where I'm at right now in life. I feel good and I don't want to die. I don't want to be part of universe wars, galaxy wars, whatever you want to call it. So, you know, here's to hoping that the aliens are chill, you know? Here's to hoping the aliens are all about those chill vibes. Kind of like hanging out at a bonfire in a flannel, drinking a Coors Light, telling some cool stories about the galaxy, you know, just bragging about all the planets they've been to. Just be like, oh dude, you have to go to Venus in the fall. It is beautiful. I don't know. I'm giving aliens all these voices. I don't know how they would sound. I'm sure they would have a different language as well. I mean, people literally south of the border, but the same continent as us have a different language. So I'm pretty sure a species that lives in a different planet, on a different planet, would have a different language than us. But hey, maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they look at Earth and they study Earth and English is their favorite language. I don't know why it would be, but maybe it is. This is a whole new thing. This is crazy information that is being leaked and I'm ready for it. I always believed in aliens. I always believed in ghosts. Like, I always believed in both of those. But I think we're getting closer and closer to confirmation that there are life forms out there that are not of human origin. And you can't really confirm ghosts, you know? But you can confirm a life form that is not a human, that, you know, it's not like an animal or anything like that. So I'm just saying, I think aliens are a lot easier to confirm. And this is coming from U.S. intelligence officials. This is legit shit. Again, maybe it's all bullshit. This is just me reading into the internet's bullshit, but it's exciting. I'm all for it. Like I said, as long as they're cool, I don't want them coming in here with harsh vibes. No alien's going to harsh my mellow, bruh. So, aliens, if you're listening, I hope you're cool. I swear, I know we've done some dumb shit. You know, I'm sorry about the Island Boys. I'm sorry about, you know, Kanye West, everything he's done in the past 15 years. I don't apologize for college dropout Kanye West or late registration, but the past 10 years or so, I apologize. He's not an example of all of us. Look at, you know, Jack Black or Dave Grohl. There you go. Those are humans you want to study. Just saying. Or me. You could study me. Don't stick anything up my ass. Or if you do, you know, just be gentle. If you're going to probe me, it's the lube and probe combo. You don't go in there dry. I'll be really upset. Now, I'm just putting this all out there now. Because when the aliens come, nope, not like that. Maybe they would. I don't know. Maybe they get off on the probing. But when the aliens arrive, I want them to know my guidelines. I want them to know my stipulations. I want them to know my rules. Or at least my requests. Because there's a good chance I could be like, these are my rules. And the aliens would be like, well, guess what, dude? I don't give a shit about your rules. So bend over, big boy. Just saying. That's in the cards. I definitely am not ruling that possibility out. So, damn. Really hope I don't get raped by an alien. But if it happens, it happens. It is what it is, you know? Gonna brush it off and move on to the next day. You win some, you lose some, you move on. Right? Right. Okay. Anyway, that's all my alien talk for today. Tom DeLong was right, just saying. But we got an interview coming up with a very funny comedian, Connor Carter. If you have not heard of him, look him up. You won't be disappointed. Very, very stoic, as he puts it, and just very funny, very funny. So I feel like as a comedian, that's a high compliment. That's what you want to be. You want to be funny. At the end of the day, if you're a comedian, you want to be funny. And Connor Carter is very funny. He is great at his craft. So, and still early in his career too. He's 27. He started when he was 25. So he's just going to get bigger and bigger from here on out. And I can't wait to see that ascension because I think he deserves all of it. So, all right. So aliens, maybe you could watch some Connor Carter clips as well. Get a good chuckle and be like, this dude's funny. I like this dude. And then you could listen to this interview and be like, that host of that podcast sounds really cool. You know, we should be buddies with them. That's my main thing. If the aliens are here, I hope they're cool. I would love to be buddies with them. I would love to have one on the podcast. We could talk about whatever you wanted, whether that be stories from around the galaxy. What's the food like on Jupiter? You ever slide around the rings on Saturn? I don't know. That'd be fun. If it was possible, I would do it. How close have you gotten to the sun? You know? Just saying, what is your favorite planet? Or if you want to talk about world domination in your future, cool. Like that's, I just want to get in good with him. I want to be on good terms. It's like being nice to the weird kid at school in case he decides to go postal one day. It's like, I want you to spare me because, I'm not that bad of a guy. That's my defense, I guess. Maybe I need to lawyer up and work on that defense. Saying I'm not that bad of a guy, I don't think they would settle for that. But hey, maybe they would. Maybe if I offered them to be on the podcast, they'd be like, so we get on the podcast, we get to plug our world domination mission, and we'll let you live. I'll be like, sounds like a good deal to me. I don't know. And then we shake hands, their weird little alien noodle fingers, and I go on about my day and my life, actually. And yeah, that's the future. All right. Connor Carter coming up, episode 75, milestone. You celebrate the quarter marks, the 25s, the 50s, the 75s, the 100s, and so on. So let's celebrate today. Feel great Friday. Let's do it. All right, everybody. Welcome back to episode 75 of Feel Good Friday. It's a milestone. We got Connor Carter on, very special guest, comedian Connor Carter on the milestone episode 75. So this is a big deal.
75 of these?
Yeah.
Wow, man.
It's
a lot.
I don't know. I've been doing it since October of 2021. It's not the most consistent thing, but I really love doing it because I get to get all my thoughts out, and then I get a chance to talk to really interesting, funny people such as yourself. So
nice. Well, 75, that's nothing to sneeze at. So
yeah.
Good for you, man.
Thank you. Well, thank you for being on. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So I guess right away, you're a stand-up comedian. I think you got great stuff. Who were some of your inspirations when you were coming up? Like, who did you watch and you were like, that's what I want to do?
The first person I ever saw do stand-up was Bill Burr.
Okay.
I didn't really know what stand-up was, and I didn't have cable, so yeah. I was at someone else's house just flipping through channels.
Gotcha.
And I saw him doing a bit about, I didn't even know who he was. It was a bit about Hitler having the Olympics and being very, trying to get his people to win. And then Jesse Owens beating okay. everyone, and about how awkward the limo ride home must have been with him.
Yeah.
And, I was like, wow, I've never... And then I saw Dave Chappelle's, I think, Killing Him Softly a bunch on YouTube, so...
Yeah, that's
those two guys.
That's an all-time great, for sure.
Yeah.
So, Bill Burr and Dave Chappelle. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so... It's funny, because when I saw your videos, not quite as angry as Bill Burr, from what I could tell.
Yeah, I think early Bill Burr, especially, he got angrier.
Yeah.
Or maybe more honest. He was, yeah, so I'm pretty stoic on stage, which is interesting, I guess.
I guess he has a lot to get angry about as the world keeps spinning, but,
you know. Yes.
Yeah. So one of your recent clips, you brought up a friend to the stage. I'm not sure if he's alive or not, if you really want to call him a friend, but Barry.
That's right.
Yeah.
And just let you, I don't do that every show. That was okay. Special. That'd be weird if I did.
Right.
That was just a show and tell thing. So you were bringing up stuff from your childhood.
Yeah.
And like presenting it. So one of my friends brought like a diaper and then a guy, just like a sweater your mom made you, and then I brought a bear that's just been sitting in my room for like 25 years.
Yeah. So did you like, just obviously the first joke is this is a bear my dad used to beat me with. So you find this whatever item and then just make a bunch of jokes, like come up with jokes for it?
Yeah, you try. Like, day of, I go, they say you're doing a 6-minute set, and okay. I have zero jokes.
Yeah.
So pretty quickly, I maybe say three jokes, and hardly any of them work, and I go, all right, just start asking me questions.
I got you.
Come on.
Do you like the crowd interaction? Do you do crowd work a lot?
No. I think some things I've posted are just, they're not material.
Okay.
So, and you think it's a fun moment, so you might as well.
Yeah.
But not really. I think I typically just want to say my jokes.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what I'm supposed to do, so
I got
just
you.
Do that.
I got you. Well, I just had to ask, because you handled it really well, the questions about Barry. So that's why I kind of thought maybe you had a little bit more of that. But
yeah, they're a fun crowd too, so I think that makes it easier to do stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But typically, like, if they didn't ask me any questions, that would have been really bad. So I just had them, like, they got quiet, and I'm like, keep asking me questions.
Yeah.
Please. And then my time went over, and I left.
Got you. What is the biggest show you've done? Like, what's the biggest crowd you've played for?
Most people? 250?
Okay, yeah.
Something like that.
Uh-huh. Where was that at?
I think that was at the Addison Improv.
Okay.
Are you familiar with that club at all?
Not quite, but, you know, it's... I'm sure it's a Google search away. I can get familiar with it.
It's in Dallas. So it's an improv, but it's like, it's really nice, lower ceilings. They have like a shotgun style hall, and mm-hmm. it's really cool interior. I think that was about 200 to 250.
Nice.
Yeah.
How, what was the feeling going into that?
So that was my first weekend. My first ever weekend. I didn't really know anything about it. I just tried to enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And there's a comic named Shang Wang. Have you heard of Shang Wang?
No, but I'm definitely going to look that up for sure.
So Shang's a Houston guy.
Okay.
And he has a special on Netflix called Sweet and Juicy.
And, oh!
I think he...
Yeah. I remember the title.
Have you seen the special?
I remember the title, Sweet and Juicy. I think I tried watching some of it. Something came up. I never got back around to it. But what I saw, I liked. I definitely want to finish that up. It's on the queue.
Yeah, so he's got yellow button-up shirt,
right.
Really long hair.
Uh-huh.
He was running that hour. He had already shot the special.
Okay.
And I think I got to do some of his last club dates before the special dropped on Netflix.
Nice.
I had done a show with him in Houston, and I just asked him if I could host, and yeah. I did. And that was really cool, and just seeing him do that hour over and over was fun to watch.
Yeah.
So that was like a cool, big moment early on.
Absolutely. So, you got to, like, did you get to hang out with him and stuff in the green room and all that?
Yeah, so, green room, and then I did San Antonio with him. He likes to, like, eat seafood, day drink, go to botanical gardens, and we played mini golf a lot San Antonio.
It's the big four right there.
And then you just go to shows. It's like, this is the coolest thing ever.
Hell yeah. That's awesome. So from what I could tell, he's... super cool dude, so I'm sure he's like that in person as well. If not,
he's
even
very chill.
Cooler. Yeah, chill, for sure.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. That was fun.
Gotcha. So you're from Texas?
Yeah, born and raised in Houston.
Houston, okay. I lived in San Antonio for a bit. I worked down there, but stopped in Houston, went to, like, hit all the big cities when I was down there. I loved it down there. To be honest, I'm a Texas fan, but I came back up to Chicago for a girl and then started a family, and so I'm here.
Nice, man.
Yeah, but so have you played outside of Texas?
I don't tour. I just will go to another city and do shows.
Yeah.
I've done shows in San Francisco,
okay.
Denver, I've done a lot of stuff in Austin. As Austin's blowing up, I try to go up there once a month, try to do that.
Yeah.
San Antonio, they got a cool room there.
Mm-hmm.
Anywhere I go, I just try to get up.
Got you.
Doesn't matter where I am, so.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite place to perform? Is it the hometown, or Did you like San Francisco or Denver or something?
I think I like both. Houston has two independent clubs.
Okay.
For how big Houston is, we don't have, I think we have three clubs.
Yeah.
That's it. We have one improv, and then we have a place called The Secret Group,
Okay.
and we have a place called The Riot Comedy Club. And I do most of my spots at The Secret Group and The Riot Comedy Club. So I like performing there. Those are good clubs. Houston has good crowds, and it just keeps you busy, keeps you working. So I like the home clubs.
I got you. Are you a sports fan at all? I haven't gotten to
I guess I watch basketball more than football.
that.
I'm a
Okay.
bit of a sports fan, I'd say.
Yeah. Are you thinking James Harden is going to come back to Houston?
No, I hope not. I hope he stays wherever he's at. He had a
Don't want him
nice
back?
run. No, I don't know what the Rockets are doing right now. I've kind of given up. And I see the money we're giving the people, and I'm very happy for them, but I'm pretty bummed for the Rockets.
Yeah,
Why are we doing that?
the Dillon Brooks signing, I think that was 4 years, 80 million or something like that. So
Yeah, there's another Fred Van Fleet. I think we were dropping off over 100 million on him, and I
it
don't know
was
where that came from.
133 for Fred Van Fleet. So I mean, you guys are primarily, it's a young team, so I guess you needed that veteran presence, but Dillon Brooks and Van Fleet, we'll see. I guess we'll see.
I don't think we will see. I think it's I don't know what we're doing, and it's pretty upsetting. But hey, good for them. They're fun.
I got you.
I
And
don't know
then,
what. Yeah, I see the money now, and I don't get it. But I go, oh, well, I'm not an executive,
yeah,
so it's not up to me to get.
I got you. And then, no Houston Texans for you at all. That's just.
No, I think I went to Texas also, like you. I went to UT.
Okay, I got you.
And I was not into football, and when we're not good, it makes it easier, makes my choice easier.
Yeah.
So I'm not really into either. I live really close to the NRG Stadium. I probably live 5, 10 minutes away.
Okay, I got you.
But it's just not a part of my thing. I don't really dive into football too much.
Yeah. No, it's I honestly wish I didn't because it's ruined days for me. And then I get upset that I'm letting it ruin my day, and
Yeah.
it's this whole awful thing. So, kind of wish I was a little more carefree like you are about it, but
Yeah, when you don't care at all, you can just enjoy it a little more.
yeah. Oh, exactly. Yeah, I'm from Chicago, and the teams here are pretty, historically, they've been all right. They've had their stretches, but right now it's like a low point. So come playoffs, I don't have to worry about any of our teams getting eliminated because they're not making it there. So there's that
That's
feeling of
great.
like I just get to watch the game and not care. So I understand that for sure.
Yeah, it's good to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Enjoy, and then it'll. I feel like we're always bad. Yeah, we're always pretty bad. So it's never changed over my lifetime.
Yeah. So you said you went to Texas, the Longhorns for college. Did you
Yes.
start stand up in college or was it before that? Like how when did you know when you were like, all right, I'm gonna be doing this, or I can do this?
So I'm 27.
Okay.
I started when I was 25.
Okay.
So I'm fairly new. I'm about 2 years, 4 months in. And college, like middle school, I did plays and stuff,
Okay.
and I did drama. Nothing in high school. College, my last year, I got into improv
Okay.
at UT. And that was, I'd never done any club stuff, and it was fun. It was so much fun.
Yeah.
But I also had the feeling of like, I wish somehow I could do this. It could just be me sometimes on
Yeah.
stage. And Austin was not what it was, and there was like the old scene of comics was the scene. There was no influx of people.
Okay.
I did one open mic in Austin, went last, bombed, really nervous, and then I didn't try an open mic till I was 25.
Damn.
In Houston somewhere, and then I just never stopped after that.
Yeah. It's crazy that you've only been really doing this for, I mean, since you were 25, so 2 years, and you already got the hanging out with Shang Wang under your belt. Like, that's pretty awesome to have accomplished that within a 2 year span, you know?
Yeah, I feel lucky to. I've done some things that I think are cool.
Yeah.
And I've done some, been lucky to do some fun stuff. So.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's been pretty cool so far.
Mm-hmm. I asked about your biggest show, which was the Addison Improv, but what was what show do you think of when you think of like the best time that you had? Like a night that you wish you could go back to and relive. Or is there one? Is this like the Bear where you're doing what you love, but there's not one of those nights?
I guess just a good set always feels good.
Okay.
I don't know if there's one particular one that stands out.
Mm-hmm.
Just whenever I can get up multiple times on shows, and anytime I have a good set. I don't think one really stands out.
Okay.
It's just if I'm doing spots, I'm happy for the most part.
Got you. That's awesome. Yeah, I get that. I understand that for sure. I guess it makes sense now that I'm thinking about it. Like, because when I went to your Instagram, I was expecting like a lot more followers and stuff because I think you are super funny. But I guess if you've only been doing it for 2 years, like it takes time. I think comedy is one of those things that really takes a lot of time. I mean, I tried it when I was in college. I haven't done it since. And I was nowhere close to building any sort of a fan base. So do you ever, like, what keeps you going? What is that motivation?
I think I just enjoy it. I haven't taken much time off. I don't know if I've taken a night off. When I'm not doing it, I'm thinking about it. And I just enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
When it's going, just right, getting a new bit to work, I think nothing beats that.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing like incremental improvements,
mm-hmm.
and hitting little goals here and just feeling like you're getting better.
Yeah.
I think that's it. And when I've had that mentality, things happen and good things happen. So just that, because I think there was a time when I'm trying to figure out what I wanted to do and trying a bunch of different hobbies.
Right.
And none of them really stick. And then this was like a scary thing to try, and I just kind of fit what I was looking for.
Yeah.
So I think if I wasn't doing it, I'd be thinking about doing it, and I think that's a good sign.
Yeah, definitely. What is I'm trying to, like, when you first started your first show, how nervous were you? Was there a lot of nerves, or was it like, I got this?
Yeah. No, I never, I always think this could be really bad. Every show, I always think that this could go really, really bad.
Yeah.
First show, I did just a 5-minute guest spot. And I remember before the show, they said, "Do you want to host?"
Oh.
And I said, no. That made it worse.
Yeah.
That almost made the spot not as bad because I was thinking of hosting duties, and then I said no.
Yeah.
And then it calmed me down, and I'm like, okay, just do. And I did 5 minutes. I don't remember much from the set. I have it somewhere. Some guy recorded it for me, which is nice. But I just did 5, got out of there. I don't know how I did. I think I did fine.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was like another, I did a 7-minute spot somewhere. I remember getting booked on a show, and that felt really good.
Yeah.
Where just like someone asked you to do a spot, and that felt great.
That's a great, great feeling. If they're like, hey, we recognize you're funny, we want you here. So that's awesome. That's really cool.
Yeah, it was, I do a spot, I called my brother, and I was like, New York's expensive, but I think we should, and then, it was, I was just so excited, because you don't expect anything. Also, when you're like starting and just going to mics and nothing's happening, it's really like, what am I doing? This feels so, and especially when you don't know anyone, you just like, spoke in silence to people, and then you went home. That's like the saddest thing ever. And then when you there's like a little validation that maybe people are liking what you're saying, that feels great.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
And I think that's kind of all, that's kind of it in a nutshell. You just want some hope that you're funny and you want people to reciprocate that feeling.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you have a favorite bit that you do? Like, is there an old reliable bit that you're like, all right, show's not going well, fucking this is the one that's gonna turn it around?
There's one I'm working with right now about, I don't know if one bit can do that. So one thing I'm thinking about now is that I think I'm generally pretty set up punch.
Okay.
And then anytime I can start thinking of jokes that have like multiple laughing points.
Yeah.
That really like build and build and build. Those feel, I have one about my parents. I talk a lot about my family and I live it with my parents.
Yeah.
And I have a thing about they're at the age where scams are like a problem.
Yeah.
And then I just go into a whole thing about that. And that, I feel like, I don't know if it flips, but I think that's one that makes the audience go, okay, he's going to say funny things, and we should listen.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah, I noticed you definitely do bring in the parents a lot, the being on the cell phone bill or the cell phone plan.
Yeah, like, that's a fun one.
Yeah. And then, like I mentioned earlier, the baguette bit is also, I think that one could definitely win the crowd over, in my opinion.
But I usually close on that, and then I get people going, I don't get it. What's a baguette?
Oh.
And I'm like,
oh, all
right, that's nothing.
Yeah.
And then, or some people getting it, but going, and I'm like, well, it's a joke.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's, like, I feel like it used to do better.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think it's, like, when a crowd is eager for, I don't know, it's gotten some pushback.
Mm-hmm.
Or where people just don't respond the way you want. And then you end a set with that, with, like, a bad taste in their mouth. And you go, well, like, if that doesn't go well, I have no way to back out of that.
Yeah.
So that's made me a little more conscious of, like, maybe I need to think of something else to say. But I do say that in my set. I think it's like unique enough and hopefully good enough that they respond to it.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. And nowadays, I'm not trying to sound like one of those like everyone gets so offended, but it is true. It's difficult to say the right thing that you're not going to upset anyone. I feel like it's almost impossible. So when you're writing a joke, or have you ever written a joke, I should say, that you say to yourself, like, this isn't going to fly. This isn't a, like, this might get me in trouble.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You don't have to tell them. I mean, if you want to, sure. But.
Okay, well, there's, like, things I'll think of where I go, I could see people laughing really hard at this, but first of all, I don't think anyone's ever come up to me and been like, I was very offended by what you said.
Yeah.
I don't think that happens that much unless you have some ideas, but I generally don't do that. I would say I'm clean.
Yeah.
I don't curse. I talk about I would think I'd be considered a clean comic, so
yeah.
There's generally not a ton of pushback or like, I don't know. I had a joke about I'm Asian, and maybe you've had some Asian jokes.
I gotcha.
I had a joke about there was COVID in India.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, like, there's a lot of COVID in Indy, but not the worst place to lose your sense of smell. And that was my joke. And I feel like that's playing on a stereotype, but
yeah,
that's been received fairly well, at least when I used to say it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, like that. I could see someone going, "Hey, I'm, you know, I'm Indian. I didn't like that,
yeah,
or I was affected by COVID." But no one ever has. So yeah. I generally don't worry about it.
Gotcha. That's good. That's definitely good. I know every comedian has a bombing story. Have you ever had a bomb?
Oh my God. I bomb every week. I bomb much more than I don't bomb.
Oh wow!
It's not even close. And a bomb is not always like a complete silence.
Yeah.
I don't think that happens that much, but it's just like, okay, that didn't do great compared to what I have understood it can get.
Gotcha.
I had a real bad one. Me and my buddy Crawfish Boil.
Nice.
Sunday, 2:30 p.m. There's a bar outside. There's a bouncy house. There's a bull riding machine.
Okay.
And then us, we're supposed to do 15 each. Host goes up, does fine. My buddy goes up, does 7. We're lighting him profusely,
yeah,
from the side to get off.
Yeah.
Another comic goes up, crushes, and does 30.
Oh, wow.
I do 7. I'm supposed to do 15, but he's flashing me, and I left.
Yeah.
My dad, it was like a dad's mutual friend or something, and yeah, my dad's like, no matter how it goes, just stick around, be nice. I got off stage and said, I'm going home, and he said, yeah, I'll see you. I'll see you home.
He understood.
And yeah, and then that was just, if they didn't pay us, I would have been like, I don't like that, but
yeah,
I get I totally get that.
I got you.
Yeah, just like if you bomb at mics, I feel like that's part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's your fault. Sometimes it's, I don't ever want to blame people that's not you, because then that just puts all the blame on, like, you can't control how good an audience is. But sometimes they're not, they don't seem like they want to be there, or you feel like you're interrupting their dinner. So those always stink a little bit, but yeah, I think you generally bomb a lot. I almost don't believe people when they say they don't bomb that much, or maybe they just have different standards of
yeah,
what they think. I don't know, but I feel like I bomb all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, I know when I was kind of transitioning into this, I was saying, like, every comedian does it. I know there used to be on, I think Jimmy Fallon, or maybe it was Conan, they used to have the worst I've ever bombed segment. And it's the biggest names in comedy that are just telling their stories. So everyone does it. And that was one of the things that drew me away, is that I have such a, I don't know if it's self-esteem or insecurity or whatever, but like if I bomb, I'm going to have a rough night after that. And that's going to, I mean, I guess it's motivation to do better, but still, it's that would definitely get to me, and definitely wouldn't handle it as well as others.
Yeah, it's, I'm trying to think about, I also think though, if you're really thinking about doing this long term,
mm-hmm,
I think each bad show has less of an impact.
Okay.
Because you just understand it's going to happen a lot.
Yeah.
If it happens all the time, then, you know, assess that and think about it. But you're going to have bad shows, and you're going to bomb, and that's just a part of it. So
yeah,
I think if you can accept that a little bit and try to fight it as best you can, I think that's always good.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, I am. So I turned 30 next month, and like I said, I've yet to get back into stand-up. It's been years now.
What's holding you back?
I started that family. So I got 3 dogs, got a baby, I got the full-time job. So it's just hard. What's that?
That's great.
Oh, yeah.
That's more important than this.
No, yeah, don't get me wrong. Like, I love my life. I'm not like, I could be on a stage right now. I miss that too, but I love where I'm at. Do you think there's a window for comedy? Like, if I hit 30 and I'm not back into it, is my window almost closing, or is this just you can do it the whole life, like whenever?
I think it depends on maybe what you want out of it.
Gotcha.
Like, there's guys you hear who's, like Matt Rife. He's all over the place, and he started when he was what, like 15? That's wild. He's has like veteran years doing it, 10 years. And then like Mike Vecchione, if you've heard of Mike.
Yeah, I listen to the Bonfire all the time, so he's on a lot.
I think he started when he was 30.
Okay.
And so everyone's different. I think some people just getting on stage, that's good enough for them, and that's fine. You know, that fills some need. But if you're trying to like get up on shows and maybe you don't have an idea of like an end goal, but you know you just want to get better and keep doing this, I think you have to like go out a lot, whatever you can manage. And but I think just starting and having it be like a practice, like in the routine, I think it doesn't necessarily matter. Yeah, I think you could start whenever.
Nice. Yeah, I want to get back into it. The more I listen to these podcasts and watch these specials drop on Netflix, and the more I find comedians like you just on Instagram that I just randomly will come across, it's all inspiration and it's all motivation. I have yet to get back to it, but I definitely want to. So we'll see on that. But
Nice, man.
yeah. So you're in Houston. If I came down to Houston, I'm a big foodie. What are some spots you would recommend? And keep in mind, I'm not like I like all food. So you don't have to be like, it depends on what you like.
Okay, well, as a half Chinese person, I would recommend Chinatown.
Okay.
And there's a lot of just Chinese, Malaysian, Vietnamese food. I think that's all great. We got a big Chinatown. And then between that and like downtown is this Indian Middle Eastern part of town. That's also great. There's a barbecue place called Truth Barbecue, I think. That's fantastic. Truth Barbecue's good. Whataburger. I
Oh, yeah.
have to remember, not everyone has Whataburger. So
Yeah.
I would go for that's all reliable. And then is there anything else we're known for? We really have like pretty high quality of anything, I'd say.
I got you.
So try it all. Go
Yeah,
for it.
definitely. Like I said, I lived in San Antonio, so I was fortunate enough to try Whataburger. And
There you go.
that was one of the things. Don't get me wrong, Chicago has a lot of stuff that San Antonio didn't, but I do miss that. I miss that. I miss the fancy ketchup and all that. And yeah, it was just good. It was just, we have Culver's up here, which is arguably the equivalent to it, but it's just not the same to me.
Culver's?
Culver's, yeah, they do. It's like a Wisconsin thing. The cheese curds and butter burgers is what it's called. Yeah, so that's the Midwest equivalent to Whataburger.
Oh, okay. Well, I have family in St. Louis, Missouri.
Okay.
And I know they have White Castles, they have
Yeah.
Steak and Shakes.
Oh yeah.
Do y'all have Emo's Pizza, or is that just a St. Louis thing?
Emos?
Okay, that's just a St. Louis thing.
Yeah, I don't.
They do like I've done so my first month of stand-up, I did mics in Houston, Chicago, and Cincinnati, Ohio.
Nice.
I was just traveling around, but I still had to get up. So I can't recall. I had some like Peruvian or Venezuelan food in Chicago. What part of Chicago are you in?
I'm south suburbs, so 15 minutes from downtown,
Gotcha. Okay.
So I don't live in the city, but I live as close as you can get without living in the city.
Gotcha. Yeah, I was in like Boys Town. I did
Oh, yeah.
Lincoln Lodge.
Yeah.
Lincoln Lodge is cool. I think that's it. I was by Wrigleyville. Ooh, I'd like to go back to Chicago and do some stuff. That was a harsh month.
Oh no.
It was my first month, and it was like I did a park mic. I did a mic at a garage sale at 10 a.m.
Interesting.
I think that's how you. That was part of buying stuff. I don't know. I got just a lot of stuff from doing that.
Yeah.
A bunch of like bars and pizza places. Oof. Yeah,
Yeah.
it was not great.
Yeah. Yeah, the pizza. That's big Chicago. Pizza, the hot dogs, the Italian beef, all that. Just like the worst foods for you. Anyway, I got notification that we got just a little over 3 minutes left.
Yeah, I see this countdown timer.
Yeah, that popped up.
Okay.
But again, I wanted to thank you for doing this. And then I had a question. Would you rather play a club and it's packed and everyone is like really into the show? Or would you rather play a theater half full and people are, they're vibing with it, but they're not going crazy like in the club?
Oh, the club by far.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's yeah, clubs are they're intimate, and like I think of the Riot and Secret Group. When it's rocking, it's awesome. There's like nothing quite like it.
Yeah.
Just watching people have fun and lose their minds is that's the best. If I could like headline a weekend somewhere at a club and do fun shows like
Uh-huh.
that, I think that's it. That's like the goal.
Absolutely. Are there because again, I really think you're genuinely funny, genuinely hilarious, I would say. And
thanks.
I think you're only getting bigger from here. Are there any comedians in the future you would love to like go on tour with or even just open for in Houston? Besides Bill Burr and Dave Chappelle, since you already.
Oh my God, that would be, they do theaters.
Yeah,
and,
they can do stadiums if they wanted to.
It'd be half full while I was up, and then they'd get their snacks. I don't know. I think what's also cool is you meet comics that you've never really heard of,
yeah.
and who are murderous and hilarious. I think just meeting people, names that really stand out, like the people I like, Mike Vecchione. I got to open for Jeff Asmus. I think he cut his teeth in Chicago, if
yeah.
you know him.
Yeah.
And a lot of funny New York guys. Really just like anyone who's hilarious. It's fun to watch them
yeah.
and to discover them and hopefully make a good impression on them as well.
For sure.
Anyone.
Well, less than a minute. Again, Connor, thank you so much for doing this. Was there anything you wanted to plug before we wrap up?
No, watch episode 75 of this podcast. That's all I want to plug.
I appreciate that, man. Thank you. All right, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Thanks for reaching out. I appreciate it. This is fun.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. All right, I'll talk to you later. Have a good one.
Sweet, have a good one. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, everybody, and we are back to wrap up episode 75 of Feel Good Friday, the milestone episode, the milestone epi, if you will, if I may, if you will. Great interview with Connor Carter. That was a lot of fun. He's a good guy, and you should definitely check him out if you haven't. He's got some funny stuff up there, for sure. And I love how he used his plug to plug Feel Good Friday instead of all his stuff. That was a nice move as well. I appreciated that. So, good guy, Connor Carter. Anyway, I don't want to keep harping on about these aliens that I mentioned in the intro, but it's new and it's exciting, so I'm going to do that. Now, here's my theory. Here's my theory of a dead man, if you will. Bad girlfriend, you know, that song. Okay. If you don't know that song, it's okay. I get it. I think there's a correlation between this recent news of aliens existing, or at least non-human entities existing, crash landing onto Earth, more specifically the U.S. That's why a lot of people think it's fake, because we haven't heard other countries talking about it. What people don't realize is that the U.S. is unhinged. The U.S. doesn't play by the fucking rules. So maybe all the other countries have like a vow or some kind of pact, some kind of contractual agreement to say, hey, let's not talk about the aliens, yeah? We don't want to put people in a panic. And then the U.S. is just like, well, we're going to do it because America. And then there are other people saying this is a distraction. There are people saying, oh, they're breaking this news right now to distract us from what the White House is doing. And I'll be honest, I don't know enough about that to get into it, so I'm not going to. I think it's aliens. There. I said it. I said it. I meant it. I'm here to represent it. I think it's true. I could be way wrong. Maybe I am. But at the moment, I think it's aliens. Just because maybe I want that. Maybe part of me wants that, you know? Something... that isn't necessarily like a trend that I hate, you know, because there's so many trends that I hate, the TikTok trends, and there's a new trend of girls acting like NPCs, which apparently means non-playable characters, like in video games, and they're getting paid a lot of money, and it's the weirdest thing to watch. It's very cringy to watch. It's girls just in front of a webcam, camera, circle light fucking thing, and, you know, they get requests. To do requests is another one of those words that I mentioned in the intro. Yeah, let's fix that. Require. No, I don't like that. We'll workshop it. Anyway, they get these requests to do actions and say things. So I think the biggest one, her name is like Pinky Doll, something like that. And it's her just like for minutes on end, just in front of this camera going, gang, gang. Gang, gang. Ooh, strong woman. Ice cream, so good. Like, for so long, it's the wildest thing ever, and I can't believe it's a trend, and I hate everything about it, and I'm disappointed that it's a trend. Disappointed in America, you know? But that's why I'm thinking that this alien thing, it could be something new that I'm not, like, that I don't totally hate. Like, this is news that doesn't make me sad. This is news that gets me excited. Now again, like I mentioned in the intro, the aliens could be violent and aggressive and malicious and all those other synonyms, in which case I would not be excited about this. But if they're cool, if they're just here to chill, maybe hit up Daytona Beach or something, then yeah, I'm excited that they're trying to make contact. And I don't think a crash landing is exactly how they want to make contact, or at least how they drew it up, but you never know. Anyway, I think there's a correlation between the aliens confirmed existing and the crazy lady on the plane. Now, if you don't know what the crazy lady on the plane is, look that up. You could just look up crazy lady on the plane, maybe throw in the word viral, and you'll get it. It's semi-recent. I think it was about 3 weeks ago, maybe four, maybe a month ago that this happened. There's a short video of a lady walking off a plane that apparently Carrot Top was on the same flight. By the way, who knows? I'm thinking that's just a clout grab, but who knows? And this lady's walking off the plane, and she doesn't look crazy, by the way. To me, she does not look crazy. She looks like a normal functioning member of society. She looks like she could possibly be a mom. If anything, she looks like she could be the fun aunt. Yeah. She doesn't look like she's on drugs. She doesn't seem drunk. I guess it's possible that she is. I'm able to play it straight when I'm fucked up sometimes. But to me, she does not appear to be zonked out, if you will. On the za, is that what the kids are saying? The za-za? Yeah, I think that's a new term. Anyway. And she's walking off the plane and she's shouting and she's saying, you all can stay on this flight. But that motherfucker right there, that motherfucker is not real. And then she's like, you all can stay on. I don't give two fucks. But I'm getting off this flight and then whatever. And then she leaves. There's a lady at the end that's like, bye. And part of me was hoping that there was actually an alien on that flight. just to like, so that lady could be like, oh shit, she was right. I love those moments in movies when everyone's like making fun of the local crazy person, and then the local crazy person turns out to be right. Hey, disaster is imminent. Hey, the invasion is coming, all that. Vampires are real. So this lady went viral, and a lot of people are like, wow, she's crazy. Then people started to get more into it, and they were like, what is she talking about? What could she be talking about? I read somewhere that she got arrested because apparently she was pointing at an African-American gentleman, and she got arrested for a hate crime. I don't know if that's real. I haven't heard a word from her since this happened. I don't know if she's embarrassed and she went into hiding. I don't know if the government got to her. Maybe now that aliens are confirmed, she'll get released and she'll start doing some interviews. Maybe I'll have her on the pod. I don't know. But if she really is missing, that's crazy. Again, I haven't Googled her in a bit. It's been about a week, but last time I Googled her, there was no interviews, there was no quotes, there was no nothing. There was the article saying she got arrested, but I don't know how true that is. So, it's crazy to think about, like, what if she's not insane? What if she's pointing to an alien? What if she saw something that no one else saw? And the alien's just sitting in the back like, what the fuck is this bitch talking about? What if she saw, like, you know, some ooze slip out from under his sleeve, or like a tentacle just droop out of his shorts or something like that accidentally, like the way my dick does sometimes because it's it's really big, you know? What if she saw that and she freaked out, and then the alien just, you know, wiped off the slime, the ooze, or sucked the tentacle back into his shorts, and then went back to playing it cool. No one would believe her. There's no way anyone would believe her, even if she saw it with her own eyes, and if no one else saw it, no one else saw it. It's the end of the story. No one's going to believe her when she says there's aliens on the plane. But her saying it, that motherfucker's not real, that's what also confuses me. I don't know what she means by that. And I really want to get to the bottom of it. And I really wish she would do an interview so she could clarify. You know, is she talking about, like, are there bots on the plane? Is there AI on the plane? AI people? AKA iRobot? AKA Will Smith? I don't know. It's intriguing. Some people are just shutting it down, saying she's drugged out and she's crazy and that's the end of the story. No, I like to look more into it. Sometimes. This is a case where I like to look more into it. A lot of the times I hear about news stories and all this viral shit, and I'm like, eh, whatever. Move on to the next thing. But this is something I'm looking into, especially now, because with this alien confirmation, I feel like there's a chance they're correlated, and Detective Joe is going to get to the bottom of it. Hey, what do you call a constipated detective? No shit, Sherlock. That's a good one. But I'm going to do my research, and maybe I'll even come back on the next episode and keep talking about this. Even if you don't want to hear it, I'm interested. And this is my podcast, so I'm going to do that. But anyway, that's what's going on in my head right now. Aliens. Now, I know I should have other priorities above that, and I do, but the aliens are definitely up there. They're definitely up there. So maybe I'm talking about it too much. Maybe they're going to hear this and they're going to like knock on my door later and be like, hey man, could you, let's keep it down. Yeah. Let's just keep it down a little bit. I'll be like, what? Oh, you're the, and then they'll be like, yeah, we are. And then I'll be like, oh shit, I'm sorry, man. I just want to know if you're real, but this is good. This is confirmation. So nice to meet you. I'll stop talking. So if I stop talking about it, you now know why. Either the aliens themselves came or the Men in Black. Because that's not just a movie. There's theories out there that the Men in Black are real. It's a real organization. I can go into that, but I'm not going to. Just because I'd have to Google it. And I'm recording right now, so I don't want to Google it. But there are definitely theories that the Men in Black is real. Again, nothing confirmed, because if they are a secret organization, they're not going to be all out there out in the open all the time. It's like the Mothman. Like, you have to catch it. Bigfoot, yada, yada, yada. My allergies are kicking in bad, dude. Three dogs, I'm sweeping every day. I'm vacuuming every day, and it's just not enough. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? And then in other news, we're just going to transition off of aliens to the NFL. Because why not? It's never too early to talk about football, in my opinion. Again, that's just my opinion. You don't have to have the same opinion as me. But a big thing that's going on right now is the running back, not revolution. I'm not sure exactly what to call it. I'd call it, if anything, the running back drought. Running backs are not getting paid. It's very sad. The average yearly salary of a kicker is higher than a running back's. I think the kicker is 2.1 and a running back is 1.8 a year. Now, granted, it's 2.1 million. That's 1.8 million. That's a higher average salary than I would ever have in my life. But still, the running backs are mad. And they're not reuniting. They're revolting with each other. They're standing in unison. So when all this happened, like Jonathan Taylor tweeted, one, if you're good enough, they'll find you. Two, if you work hard enough, you'll succeed. If you succeed, three, you boost the organization. And then, doesn't matter, you're a running back. That was his tweet. Austin Eckler said, this is the kind of trash that has artificially devalued one of the most important positions in the game. Everyone knows it's tough to win without a top running back, and yet they act like we are discardable widgets. I support any running back doing whatever it takes to get his bag. Christian McCaffrey said, this is criminal. Three of the best players in the entire league, regardless of the position. Najee Harris said, I agree with my running back brothers. Around the NFL, history will show you that you need running backs to win. We set the tone every game and run trough. I think he meant to say tough or through, but he spelled it T-R-O-U-G-H. I think he either meant to say through. And run through walls for our team and lead in many ways. This notion that we deserve less is a joke. And then Saquon. So Saquon was one of the big three that was trying to get a deal done, and it wasn't happening. It was Saquon, Josh Jacobs, and Tony Pollard. Saquon said on the Money Matters podcast, my leverage is I could say fuck you to the Giants. I could say fuck you to my teammates. You want me to show you how valuable I am to the team? I won't show up. Anybody who knows me knows that's not something I want to do. Am I prepared to take it to this level? I don't know. That was kind of wild. But then Saquon ended up getting paid. He got a one-year deal worth $10.1 million, fully guaranteed, including a $2 million upfront signing bonus. The deal includes $909,000 of incentives, with an equal amount paid for 1,350 rushing yards, 11 touchdowns, and 65 receptions. So he ended up getting his bag. Haven't heard anything about Josh Jacobs and Tony Pollard yet, though. I still think, for what Saquon brought to the table last year, that's a little low, but he got paid, so he's going to be at training camp, and it's all good. All right, here's my thoughts on this. You want to hear my thoughts on the running back issue in the NFL? I got you. I love running backs. I love running backs. Big, powerful dudes, but, you know, busting through. Sounds a little. Anyway, you know, just tough. Just built like a brick shit house, running through like a fucking bull in a china shop. It's awesome. Outside of the tight end, that's my favorite position. It goes tight end, running back, and then I don't know what. You know. Off a linebacker is pretty great. Anyway. I love the running back position. And it sucks that they're all upset that they're not getting paid as much as other positions, including kickers. I get the frustration. You look at what a kicker does to a team versus what a running back does for a team, and the running back probably does more in the long run, no pun intended. But, and again, I'm not in the NFL. I never played, so I don't know if I can fully say this without sounding like a dickhead. But man, you guys are still making a lot of money for playing a game. Now, I get it. You have to do the training camps and the OTAs and the workouts and the meetings and all that stuff. And you have to travel. Well, you have to travel to other cities. Well, And you have to do the press conferences and all that, and you have to maintain your image. Like, I get there's a lot of pressure that comes with being a professional athlete, but at the same time, you're a fucking professional athlete. Like, you're living the dream of so many people. Now, granted, those many people may not know exactly what it takes to stay a professional athlete, let alone to become one, but you're living the dream of so many young boys out there, so many young girls. And then you're just getting upset when you don't get this extra, whatever, 10 million. Like, when? Like, you're still getting paid more than so many people in the world. In the world, not just America, in the world. I think they have to realize that. I mean, outside of Patrick Mahomes, to me, I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying. I'm just saying, I think athletes are spoiled, straight up. I think they're spoiled. I think they get paid entirely too much, and the market keeps going up. Justin Herbert just signed a big deal. 5-year, $262.5 million extension. So he'll be on the Chargers through 2029. It's crazy. Jalen Hurts got a 5-year, $255. Lamar Jackson got a 5-year, $260. Joe Burrow is the last domino to fall. I don't know what he's going to get, probably $270. I mean, none of those guys have won a Super Bowl for their team. Not one of them. Joe Burrow's the only one that's made it there. Well, no, fuck. I'm sorry. Jalen Hurts made it there. Sorry. Jalen Hurts made it there last year. But none of those guys are Super Bowl winners. And yet they have arguably the four biggest contracts in the NFL. So it's just kind of crazy to me that these players who, granted, they're amazingly talented. They are super talented. These are superstars. Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow. These are superstars. By the way, if you hear me itching, it's because my allergies are kicking in like a motherfucker right now. I don't know what's going on. But anyway, these are superstars, and I love them. I would love to have any of them on the Bears. But man, you're investing so much money. You're giving them so much money, and they haven't... I don't know. Maybe that's just the poor person in me. Maybe that's just the jealousy in me. You know, I wish I could make... I wish I could sign a 5-year, $262.5 million contract. That would be pretty nice. I wish I could sign a 1-year, $1 million contract. Actually, the question was asked to me, would you rather have $1 million right now up front, straight up, no debate, or would you rather have a 50-50 chance to get $100 million? That was a tough question. I thought about everything I could do with the $1 million. I think I was going to go with the $1 million. Pay off my loans. Pay off this hot, like, oh, there's just so much I would do with that. And then if I took the 50-50 chance and I didn't get $100 million, that would crush me, knowing that I could have had that million. Don't get me wrong, part of me would think like, oh man, I could have had that $100 million if I went for that, if I just took the million, but I think I could get all the essentials done with a million and still have a lot left over to go to Chili's and Margaritaville a couple times. So, and see, that's my mindset right now, because I'm broke. Like, you know, if I was a famous athlete surrounded by famous people and, you know, Instagram models and clubs all the time, like, maybe I would get jealous, get greedy and want more. But as of right now, the Bears could sign me for a 1-year, $2,000 contract, and I would do everything I could to get on, you know, but I'm no Saquon Barkley. We kind of do look similar, though. Yeah, the light hits, right, I guess. Anyway, I'm going to go. It's been a lot of fun. I'm sorry if I sounded like a dick for saying that these athletes are kind of spoiled, but I feel like at the same time they should realize, hey, you're getting this is a dream job for so many people. I think you're lucky to get the opportunity to play in the NFL at all. Maybe just take what you can get. Don't sell yourself short, but also don't push yourself. Like, again, I think outside of Patrick Mahomes, now that Tom Brady's retired, there's not a lot of quarterbacks that can demand a crazy amount. But they still do it, and they're still getting paid. So, again, what the fuck do I know? All right. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Episode 75, it was very fun. I had a good time. Connor Carter was great. Check him out for sure. I started following him on Instagram. That's where I found him. So if you find him there, you'll find the same funny stuff that I did, and you'll have a nice laugh because he's got some great clips up there. Episode 76 is next because that's how numbers work. If we're on 75 right now, then 76 comes next. That's how it is. Yeah. Okay. Is this how I'm going to end episode 75? Should I do a musical number? Thank you all for tuning in. Oh, that got worse. Wow, I made that so much worse. I should have just ended it on the talking. My vow is by episode 100, maybe on episode 100, I will have an official sign-off line. I'm going to workshop it right now. I'm going to brainstorm like a motherfucker back to the drawing board. And I'm going to come up with an official sign-off line. And you're going to love it, I promise. That's my vow to you. Why am I crying? Episode 75. Oh.